A 14-year-old boy stands at a crossroads in Harlem, watching his world transform around him. Girls he once played with now carry themselves with premature weariness, saving boys for Jesus. His friends settle into a curious, wary, bewildered despair as they watch educated men reduced to elevator operators and janitors. This boy is James Baldwin's nephew, and the letter Baldwin writes him cuts through every comfortable illusion about race in America. You were born into a society which spelled out with brutal clarity that you were a worthless human being, Baldwin tells him, not to wound, but to prepare. Yet what follows isn't despair, but something more radical, a call to accept white Americans with love. Not because they've earned it, but because they're trapped in a history which they do not understand. This love isn't soft. It's the kind that demands truth, accountability, and transformation. It's the foundation for everything Baldwin builds in The Fire Next Time, a slim volume that landed like a spiritual earthquake in 1963 and continues to shake America's conscience today. Baldwin's adolescence confronted him with terror of whores and pimps and racketeers and of his awakening sexuality. The church offered refuge through its incomparable music, drama, and communal ecstasy when the church and I were one. At 14, he became a preacher, a strategic move granting status and protection in a world designed to destroy young black men. But intellectual curiosity proved fatal to faith. Reading Dostoevsky cracked his religious certainty. His predominantly Jewish high school friends challenged the gospel's authenticity, forcing uncomfortable realizations. The Bible was written by men, by white men. The hypocrisy among ministers, the failure of Christian love beyond church doors, the recognition that heaven might be another ghetto, all fueled his disillusionment. Baldwin's portrait reveals how religion simultaneously shelters and imprisons, offering community and artistic expression while failing to deliver genuine liberation. Listen to Big Bill Brunzi sing the blues, then listen to white America's sanitized versions of sadness. The difference isn't just musical, it's existential. Black communities found freedom in their gatherings, church suppers, rent parties, juke joints, where rage and sorrow sat in the darkness and did not stir. Gospel, jazz, and blues carry tart, ironic, double-edged meanings that white Americans consistently miss. These aren't entertainment, but coded messages, layered with meanings accessible only to those who've been down the line. At the heart of this divide lies white America's fear of sensuality, not merely sexuality, but respect for the primacy of life itself. This means being fully present in everything from loving to dancing to mourning. What white Americans don't know about Negroes reveals precisely and inexorably what they don't know about themselves, Baldwin writes. White Americans have constructed their identity in opposition to blackness, leaving them strangers to themselves. The cost? Spiritual poverty and perpetual denial about America's true character. Baldwin's critique devastates. Christianity emerged before color was invented, with Christ executed as a political dissident, not a racial figure. Yet the religion operated with unmitigated arrogance and cruelty, using the gospel to justify conquest. The white man's hell is the black man's hell, a black Muslim minister tells Baldwin, capturing Christianity's moral bankruptcy in America. This failure created fertile ground for the Nation of Islam. Baldwin's dinner with Elijah Muhammad shattered his preconceptions. Instead of fiery rhetoric, he found gentle demeanor and genuine joy, an atmosphere carrying a childhood peacefulness rarely found elsewhere. Muhammad's face revealed deep, old, black pain that became personal only when he smiled. The nation's success came from offering what Christianity failed to provide: dignity, purpose, and community. Muhammad had accomplished what generations of welfare workers and committees and resolutions and reports and housing projects and playgrounds have failed to do: rehabilitating addicts and ex-prisoners, instilling pride and self-discipline, creating economic independence. The movement's theology might seem fantastical to outsiders, but Baldwin understood its psychological appeal. It transformed shame into pride, powerlessness into purpose. Every doorman, every policeman represents potential threat. Your style must intimidate before they can intimidate you. This hypervigilance devastates physical health, mental well-being, and trust. In a society that is entirely hostile and seems determined to destroy you, it is not possible to accept the principle of non-injury, Baldwin explains. Distinguishing real from imagined injuries becomes impossible. This reality makes the nation's message of white people as devils comprehensible. When a Negro has no one to protect him, he cannot imagine that any protection will come from people who look like his oppressors. The most dangerous person in any society is the man with nothing to lose. Yet Baldwin cannot embrace separatism. Black Americans were formed by America, not Africa or Islam. The American Negro has no future anywhere until he accepts his past. This requires confronting trauma while acknowledging the unique culture and resilience that emerged from it, forging an identity that neither denies the pain nor remains trapped by it. Few desire freedom because it demands responsibility and confronting difficult truths. America's political institutions reflect this confusion, making the American dream increasingly nightmarish, privately unbearable in its isolation, domestically irresponsible in its promises, internationally disastrous in its implementation. Behind America's troubles lies refusal to face life's tragic nature. White Americans deny death and mortality, which is why blackness intimidates them. It represents unavoidable confrontation with human vulnerability. Freedom requires trusting life's constants, birth, struggle, death, love, and embracing change as necessary renewal. By clinging to delusions of innocence and racial superiority, white Americans waste tremendous energy that could transform Western achievements into genuine human progress. Baldwin's most radical assertion, the price of the liberation of the white people is the liberation of the blacks. Only by embracing Black Americans as full human beings can America achieve true identity and cultural maturity. Black Americans possess profound advantage, freedom from the constraining mythology white Americans desperately cling to. This clarity provides a realistic view of American reality, often seeing whites not as inherent oppressors, but as victims of their own brainwashing, trapped in self-deception that damages everyone. Baldwin concludes with a slave spiritual's warning. God gave Noah the rainbow sign. No more water, the fire next time. If America fails to address its racial divide, destruction comes not through flood, but fire, revolution, violence, chaos. Yet he remains cautiously hopeful. Everything is now in our hands. If the relatively conscious create consciousness in others, America might end the racial nightmare and change the history of the world. The unprecedented price demanded is transcendence of color, nations, and altars, moving beyond divisions through both political change and spiritual renewal. His work resonates powerfully today. His insights into white fragility, systemic oppression's psychological impact, and institutional moral bankruptcy speak directly to contemporary struggles. When he writes that the American Negro has the great advantage of having never believed the collection of myths to which white Americans cling, he anticipates modern critiques of American exceptionalism. What distinguishes Baldwin is his insistence on love as political force, not sentimental love, but clear-sighted recognition of shared humanity. If the word integration means anything, this is what it means, that we, with love, shall force our brothers to see themselves as they are, to cease fleeing from reality and begin to change it. Baldwin's prophetic voice continues challenging us to face our history honestly. His message isn't comfortable, but comfort was never the goal. Truth was. Justice was. Love, the demanding, transformative kind, was.